This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Welcome to this evening's episode, Gentle Goodbyes. We all love a big, splashy ending, and composers do too. We can easily imagine that a composer might well wish to end a composition in such a way that the audience members will come flying out of their seats yelling, "Bravo! Bravo!" Many times more than not, the first and last movements of a concerto, symphony, piano sonata, or string quartet do end with a bang, like the conclusion of Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4 that we just played for you. And yet, there are some favorite musical moments of mine when the composer deliberately chose to gently say goodbye. Sergei Rachmaninoff's 1934 composition, Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, was written for large symphony orchestra. Piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four French horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, triangle, snare drum, cymbals, bass drum, glockenspiel, harp, and of course, 60 string players, plus the piano soloist. Such a group can make a lot of sound, and Rachmaninoff has them pour it on a number of times during the 24 variations. The Rhapsody is based on the 24th Caprice for solo violin by Niccolo Paganini. The theme of this caprice may be familiar. Here are two variations when the orchestra gets cranking. the seventh variation, Rachmaninoff combines the Paganini theme with a new one, the Gregorian chant originally from the Mass for the Dead. Dies irae, dies illa. Except that the piano is playing it at a much slower tempo. Da, ra, ra, ra. Listen now for the Gregorian chant, but see if you can also detect the Paganini in there as well. Were you able to notice the bassoon and pizzicato strings playing dum da 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 dum, except slower? Da 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 dum. Listen once more for both themes played together. Before we get to Rachmaninoff's gentle goodbye, let's just pause to note and enjoy the most famous variation among the 24 he wrote, number 18, which cleverly takes Paganini's theme in a minor key, da-da-da-da-da, and turns it on its head and puts it in a major key, da-da-da-da-da. Let's go to that final 24th variation. The first thing I'd like you to listen for is this. At a certain point, the Dies Irae Gregorian melody begins to sneak in, but it's finally front and center played by the brass. So put your dinner aside for a moment and listen for this thunderous, auspicious moment. Maybe you'd like to raise a glass to signify that you detected it. Here we go. Thank you. wasn't too difficult, was it? Now, listen to where Rachmaninoff goes from there. Whoa! Why did you stop? Because Rachmaninoff is setting us up to think that we will be getting an ending like the ending of the first movement of his second piano concerto. Or perhaps the ending of the third movement of his second piano concerto. But let's rejoin Variation 24 and discover what he has in store for us. After all that racket, just a very gentle, almost flippant, see ya. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart uses rondo form as the musical recipe for the third movement of his Violin Concerto No. 5. This formula for writing a movement of music requires the composer to present an initial musical idea which is continuously interrupted by material that is different. But that initial idea keeps returning, giving the movement a sense of continuity. Just so we understand this concept, here is Mozart's initial musical idea. Now we'll begin the music somewhere near the end of the first intervening or interrupting section. Be listening for the return of the initial musical idea. Some of the intervening music gets pretty rambunctious, at least for Mozart. For instance, this section, that is Mozart's take on the Turkish street bands of his day. We'll start the music where the orchestra is playing yet another statement of the initial idea of the rondo. You won't be able to miss the Turkish band. Thank you. Once again, to make certain that we recognize the return of the initial section, we'll start the music at the end of the Turkish band interruption. Joshua Bell, who is the soloist here with the English Chamber Orchestra, also plays a little solo cadenza at the tail end. There it is. And here is the very last statement of the initial musical theme of this rondo, before the movement ends. Be listening for the very gentle goodbye. So gentle, it almost catches us unaware. Gee, did it just end? Johannes Brahms may have composed for us one of the sweetest goodbyes ever written in the first movement of his violin concerto. Truth be known, he has it both ways in that after he bids us adieu, he also gives us a bit of a bang to conclude. The movement is lengthy, nearly 20 minutes. It contains a number of musical themes, but begins with this one, important for our purposes. Just a little bit later, that same idea is going to receive a full blast treatment from the entire orchestra. We'll start the music at the beginning again. Make some gesture of recognition when you notice this simple beginning statement explode. Did you find it here? And the violin soloist gets to play this theme sweetly by himself. The music will start before then. Again, make some physical gesture when you notice the soloist is playing that theme. Thank you. It also appears in minor keys. This next excerpt begins in the minor. Notice when it changes back to major. Back in major. And here is another statement following a passionate moment from the soloist. Composers often write extra endings, which we call codas. Brahms decides to use this theme in his extra ending, and in doing so, gives us an exquisite, gentle goodbye, before ultimately ending the movement with a flourish. It is his choice of harmonies under the violin solo that tell us he's about to end the movement. He has never, up to this point, used these harmonies in his theme. Let's just do a quick comparison. Here's the first time the violin soloist plays this material. Now listen to how differently Brahms harmonizes and expands on this theme in the coda. He begins with this chromatic series of chords. This 1959 performance features violinist Nathan Milstein with the Philharmonia Orchestra under Anatole Fistulare. I'd like to conclude the episode with this gentle goodbye from Johannes Brahms. This has been Inside Music. I'm George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, and your host. The producer is David Hosenberg. The Discovery Orchestra's Emmy-nominated educational concerts for American Public Television are available on Amazon.com and may be streamed free of charge by Amazon Prime members. For more information about the Discovery Orchestra, visit our website at discoveryorchestra.org. Inside Music is made possible by Glenmead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Inside Music episodes can be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org by selecting About Us and then Our Programs A to Z. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in for our next episode, Foreplay. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Mole reminding you to listen better.